Hello, you are listening to The Album Show, and this is your host, Jacob Holm-Lupo. It's been a couple of eternities since I last did this podcast, so chances are if you're listening to this now, you didn't listen to the first ones. So, quick introduction of myself. I am a musician, playing a few bands. You may know me from the progressive rock band White Willow. I'm an audio engineer, I'm an author, I've written books on Toto, Blue Oyster Cult, and more. But most important to this show, I am a record collector and a huge music fan, and what I'll basically be doing here is talking about albums that I like or that I find interesting, noteworthy. Today's show is going to be dedicated to the group Yes, and specifically their post-John Anderson output. Now, if you know Yes, you know that John Anderson has been out of the band a few times, but after Magnification, he has not been in the band at all, and the band's first album without John Anderson was Fly From Here, which came out in June of 2011. Had the singer Benoit David, French-Canadian singer, and since then, John Anderson has not returned. A lot of Yes fans discount those albums because they say, you know, no Yes without John Anderson. I think that's a mistake. I think that the albums that came after he left have been patchy, but they have done good stuff. And now they have a regular singer with John Davison who's quite integrated into the band. So I thought it would be worth looking at those albums, talking about them, looking at them objectively, seeing what's good, what's bad, what's different. So let's go. So as I mentioned, Magnification was the last album that Yes did with John Anderson that came out in 2001. And the time between that and the next studio album, well, first of all, it was a long time. It was 10 years. And second of all, they filled that with all kinds of stopgap releases, like countless live albums, Symphonic Live, The Word Is Live, Live at Montreux. I think they did the Union Live reissue and some remixes albums. So obviously they tried to fill that gap with releases to keep things going. So I don't know the story behind how Trevor Horn got re-involved with the band, but he did. So in 2010, Trevor Horn took Yes into his studio. He basically kicked Oliver Wakeman out of the band, who had recently replaced his father, Rick Wakeman. And that's an interesting story in itself, because the band had at that point been rehearsing and recording, I believe, with Oliver Wakeman and the new singer Benoit David, songs that would eventually end up on the From a Page mini album. But anyway, that's what they were working on at the time. Then, for some reason, Trevor Horn came in, kicked out Oliver Wakeman, brought in his buddy Jeff Downs, who, of course, also played on the 1980s Drama album. And they started recording Fly From Here. What's interesting about Fly From Here is that the centerpiece is a 23-minute epic, which, you know, screams Yes, but it was in fact an old Buggles song that Trevor and Jeff Downs had written in 1979. I think it's been released, their Buggles version has been released as a bonus track to Adventures in Modern Recording, the second Buggles album. And then you have to go back in history to the first time Trevor Horn joined Yes in 1980 for the Drama record. Fly From Here was actually the first song that Trevor Horn and Jeff Downs presented to Yes as something that they could potentially work on together. I think everyone liked it, they rehearsed it, and they certainly played it live a few times, but it didn't end up on the album. So fast forward to 2010, 2011, and they're bringing this tune back into the picture. Jeff and Trevor rework it a little bit, adds bits and pieces. Steve Howe adds an instrumental section. The whole whole band sort of massages it into a Yes song, and it becomes the centerpiece of Fly From Here. We usually know the song as the Fly From Here suite. It's divided into six sections, also in good Yes tradition, so that's, again, the centerpiece. The rest of the album is sort of a mixed bag of some Squire-composed tunes. Howe has a couple of tunes. There's another Horn Downs tune, we'll get back to it. And then there's a sort of band-written tune, which sounds almost like it was recorded live in the studio. We'll get back to all the different songs. But to explain, the actual lineup on this record is basically the drama lineup from 1980, except that Trevor Horn is not the lead singer, at least not on the initial version of the album. That gets complicated. It's Benoit David, this French-Canadian singer who was originally with the Canadian prog band Mystery, and he was also a singer in a Yes tribute band, which is apparently how Yes found him. So it's Benoit David on lead vocals, Steve Howe on guitars, Chris Squire on bass, Alan White on drums, Jeff Downs on keyboards, and I think Trevor Horn does some backing vocals and occasional keyboards on the album as well. So how does the album sound? It sounds totally great, actually. It's a pleasure to have Trevor Horn back behind the console. Of course, he produced 90125, which is one of their best produced albums. He's an audio wizard. So the sound is great, which is a nice contrast to a lot of the 90s output that Yes had that was recorded on very low budgets and didn't really sound that great. There's great separation between the instruments. There's deep lows and high highs. It's just a wonderful sonic document. The Fly From Here suite is, of course, the most interesting part of the album. It's quite dominated by Jeff Downs' keyboards, which I personally think is a great thing. I've missed his keyboard playing. I love what he did on Drama. He has very different sonic choices from, say, Rick Wakeman or Tony Kaye, very much into textures and atmospheres, which befits Fly From Here very much, because the song sort of paints a picture of this abandoned airfield, a picture of loneliness, a person who is at this abandoned airfield, possibly missing someone who he once met there, or missing the golden past of the airport. We don't quite know, but the whole song is an evocation of what I would call a liminal space, a space full of possibilities, but empty of features. Gets a little complicated. But I think that Trevor Horn has been, again, inspired by the author J.G. Ballard, who, for one thing, was the inspiration for Video Killed the Radio Star. That was based on a J.G. Ballard short story called The Sound Sweep. And I think, again, here, Trevor Horn is bringing up his Ballard inspiration. J.G. Ballard was sort of obsessed with airports and airfields, and especially abandoned, disused ones. And that's just sort of the atmosphere that's being evoked by this epic tune. It's not overly complicated, doesn't have a million time changes. It's just very atmospheric, moody. There's a really beautiful section called Sad Night at the Airfield, where Steve Howe does one of his, you know, heart-wrenching slide guitar solos, almost taking you back to Soon. So I think Fly From Here works really well. Another feature that I really appreciate on this record is Alan White's drumming. He was criticized at that time for, you know, employing sort of sluggish tempos when they were playing live, but his playing on Fly From Here is impeccable. It's not overly complicated, but it's tasteful, it serves the songs, and the drum sound that Trevor Horn has dialed in is really great. I also really enjoy Benoit David's vocals here. He sounds like Trevor Horn, so you get that throwback feel to the Drama era. When it comes to the rest of the songs, I said that it was a mixed bag. It surely is. Chris Squire wrote a tune called The Man You Always Wanted Me to Be, which is just not great, I gotta say. It's not exciting. It's not, I don't know. It's kind of a disappointment. Steve Howe wrote Hour of Need, which is decent. It got more interesting on the 2018 remixed, re-recorded version of the album where Trevor Horn takes over the lead vocals and he's remixed and edited the songs a little bit. That's where he added to the Hour of Needs the instrumental parts that were originally only available on a Japanese edition of the album. Everything is complicated about Yes. So those instrumental sections are pretty cool. It makes the whole thing much more progressive. And in the Hour of Need, you can hear a little bit of Oliver Wakeman's keyboards that survived. It's a nice touch. There's Solitaire, which is a Steve Howe solo acoustic piece. It's decent. It's not great. Another Howe song turned up on the 2018 edition. Don't Take No for an Answer. I just don't like it. It's a Steve Howe solo song. It's not a Yes song. But then there's Into the Storm, which I talked about. It's the whole band have been involved in the writing. I'm guessing that it's a result of jamming it out in the studio. It's got a lot of energy and it sounds a little bit like classic Yes. For me, I actually get a little bit of a tornado feel from it. It's good. I like it. It's not fantastic, but it's good. Probably my favorite song on the album, apart from Fly From Here, is Life on a Film Set, which again is a Horn Downs composition. Again, originally a Buggles tune, and it's almost identical to the version that the Buggles did. But it's a beautiful song. It has a nice mixture of acoustic guitars and analog synthesizers. It's got interesting lyrics that are again referencing J.G. Ballard. It's got an up-tempo feel, which is nice on an album that's mostly mid-tempo. So that works for me. I think Fly From Here could have been a really strong album if they'd taken the best parts of the songs they wrote with Oliver Wakeman, the songs that eventually ended up on From a Page, dropped some of the weaker songs here. But all in all, I would say if you focus on the Fly From Here suite, if you see that as sort of the raison d'etre of the album, then Fly From Here is a very strong album. I would say possibly their strongest since 90125. Now, chronologically, I don't know quite where to place From a Page. It was released in 2019, but it was actually recorded before Fly From Here. It was the material that Yes had been working on with new singer at the time, Benoit David, and new recruitment on keyboards, Oliver Wakeman. Due to, internal Yes politics, it was not released back then. The songs were axed by producer Trevor Horn. Oliver Wakeman was thrown out of the band, and the rest was history. But in 2019, it was released. I believe Oliver Wakeman mixed it and sort of finalized the recording himself. It's just a mini album. It's pretty short. The release also has a live concert, which I'm not terribly impressed by. So let's focus on the studio tracks. I don't exactly know what to think of From a Page. I like it some days. I like it less other days. It sounds pretty good. Oliver Wakeman's playing is wonderful. It's nice to hear all those Minimoog solos that he does just like his dad. And Benoit David, he sounded really good out of the gates with Yes. The material is catchy, but it's not super interesting. The tempos are sort of sluggish and the songs are quite long. I mean, the longest song is almost 10 minutes, but they're not packed with ideas. It doesn't have that, cornucopia of ideas that classic Yes has in their songs. It's sort of, they're relatively simple ideas that are drawn out, expertly arranged, nicely produced, but in the end it's not super engaging. It's like, I enjoy it while I'm listening to it, but it doesn't really stick with me afterwards. I believe the longest track, The Gift of Love, was actually the seeds of what would become The Game, which is one of the best songs on Heaven and Earth, which again is really catchy, but doesn't really justify 10 minutes of it. I also think the production is a little bit on the slick side. It's interesting to compare because it's nicely produced, it sounds nice, but it does not have the dynamics and the liveliness of Trevor Horn's production on Fly From Here. It's a little bit flat. I suspect that some of the drum sounds have been replaced digitally, so there's not much dynamics to the drum playing, and I also hear quite a bit of pitch correction on Benoit David's vocals, which I really don't think was necessary at that point. On Fly From Here, I can't detect any pitch correction. It could be that Trevor Horn uses it very subtly as a professional producer would. But again, until he had his problems with his voice, Benoit David had very good pitch, so I don't see any reason why you would use pitch correction. So I have a few gripes about the production. I think my favorite thing about From a Page is actually the Roger Dean cover, which is beautiful, which is one of the best Yes covers he's done in recent years. And like I said, in connection with the Fly From Here, I think if you took the best material from a Page and combined it with the best material from Fly From Here, I think we would have a killer album, one that would stand up with the classics. But as it is, From a Page is a relatively inconsequential but pleasant mini album. So that brings us to the next album. We have to fast forward a bit to, I believe, July 2014. What happened in between was that the band had been touring quite a bit with Benoit David. His voice had taken a hit from incessant touring. He got some problems with his vocal cords and he was unceremoniously sacked from the band. His replacement was one John Davison, who was also a Yes tribute band singer, but also had been associated with the rather great American progressive rock band Glass Hammer. So they have a new singer, they have a lineup that's been playing live for quite a while, so they're a pretty tight band at this point. They still have their contract with Frontiers Records, who also released Fly From Here. And you would think that conditions would be right for a new Yes album at this point. They'd had a lot of time to write new material, and they had this new singer who sounded sort of like John Anderson. But already with the first choice that they make in recording this album, you see that something is not right. They choose to have Roy Thomas Baker produce the album. Now, Roy Thomas Baker is a great producer. He's produced classic albums by Queen, The Cars, Foreigner. He's a hit maker. I mean, he's great. But his history with Yes is not so great. He was part of the so-called Paris sessions, aborted Paris sessions, in 1979 after the release of Tornado. Those were recording sessions that turned out very badly. And as far as I know, there was no good blood between them. When the producer and the band split, then John Anderson split from the band, Rick Wakeman split from the band, and that turned into the Drama lineup and the Drama album that we've talked about. So why they would choose to go back to Roy Thomas Baker is just a complete mystery to me, and I think to most Yes fans. Nevertheless, a lot of people were excited about the prospect of Yes producing an album with another, you know, highly professional record producer. It worked well with Trevor Horn, and why shouldn't it work well with Roy Thomas Baker if they could put the past behind them? So I would say expectations were moderately high. And then the first single was released. I believe that was the song Step Beyond, which really didn't strike me as what Yes needed to release at that point. It opens with really silly, simple theme that sounds more like something out of a children's TV show than anything worthy of Yes. John Davison's vocals sound underproduced, a little bit thin and uncertain, and nothing really interesting happens in the song. So that dashed my expectations ahead of the album. Then when we got to hear the full album, I think it's safe to say that even though there are people who say they like the album, which is fair, it is the one Yes album that has the greatest consensus that it is not great, that it's possibly their worst album, at least in competition with Open Your Eyes. It's filled with plodding tempos, very banal lyrics, and songs that just consistently feel too light, too new agey. There's also a stiffness to the rhythms, even in the best parts, like Jeff Downs wrote a tune called Subway Waltz, which is probably the most progressive and most interesting song. Could have been a really good song, I think. And there's a sort of dueling guitar versus Hammond organ section where, you know, things could have really taken off if this was a classic Yes album. But instead, the rhythm is so square. Alan White sounds, I don't know, quantized or whatever. There's just something wrong with stuff. Then there's Roy Thomas Baker's production, which for some reason is just horrible. There is no punch, no grit to the drums whatsoever. Everything sounds flat and lifeless. And I believe at some point, Roy Thomas Baker actually withdrew from the production or was booted off, and Billy Sherwood took over some of the mixing. And whatever happened, the result is a horribly produced record. It sounds like it was recorded, you know, in the next door garage. Everything is reverby and weak. So that whole album was just a huge disappointment. I mean, there's a few light points. The Game could have been sort of a catchy pop song if it was just better arranged. Light of the Ages seems like it tries to recapture some of that grandeur of old Yes, but eventually just turns into more New Age fluff. And then there's Subway Waltz, which I think, like, if it had been on Fly From Here and Trevor Horn had produced it, it could have been a great tune. Overall, the album was just a huge disappointment and sort of a disastrous decision for Yes to release that album at such a fragile time in their career with a new lead singer again and everything. So, it was really important that they follow that album up with something significantly better, lest that should be their final word and their final legacy. In the aftermath of Heaven and Earth, a few sad things happened in the Yes camp in 2015. Chris Squire died. He was the only original member, actually, of the band at that point. Billy Sherwood stepped into his shoes. He's a very, very able bass player and really nails the Chris Squire sound, so that was fine. Alan White's health also began to ail, so Jay Shallon helped out during live performances. These setbacks didn't stop the band from actually planning another studio album, though, which made me quite happy. I sort of had a gut feeling that they would avenge their reputation, so to speak, by making a much better album. I was happy to hear that Roy Thomas Baker was out of the picture for good. Steve Howe actually took over production duties on what was reported to be the new studio album, and Curtis Schwartz, I believe, was the mixing engineer. So that brings us to October 2021, when The Quest was actually released again on Frontiers. We had actually at that point gotten a little taster. They released the single The Ice Bridge ahead of the actual album, and I thought it was a very promising sign of things to come. There was some controversy surrounding The Ice Bridge because some people dug through their crates and found out that the main synthesizer theme was actually written by Francis Monkman for a library release way back. It turns out that Jeff Downs had worked for the same library music company, and the thing had also been on his tape, and he had assumed that it was his own theme. So that had to be sorted out, but no matter. I mean, it was still basically a Yes song, and it was a good one. Started out with this synthesizer theme, which my kids point out sounds like the beginning of ELP's Touch and Go, which is, again, a theme taken from the classical composer Vaughan Williams, so there's a lot of borrowing going on there in several steps. But it's a lively song, it's got a strong bass line, it's got that catchy synth riff, it's got a lot of lively, colorful keyboards, it's got a brisk tempo, and John Davison finally sounds like he really belongs in the band, like he's integrated into the soundscape. So I thought The Ice Bridge was a very promising beginning. When the full album did come out, it confirmed my impression. It was very well produced. The sound is really nice. It's an uncluttered, not particularly fancy production, but it's tidy, it's clear, it's not overly processed, which I really appreciate. And there's a lot of good songs. There's a few not so good songs, so one of the first things I did was make a playlist where I skipped the less interesting songs. But the strong ones are strong. The Ice Bridge, like I said, Minus the Man, which I think is mainly a Billy Sherwood written song, is really catchy. The Western Edge is beautiful. It's one of those songs that really brings back some of the mystery and grandeur of the old Yes. Wish it had been a bit longer maybe, but it's really beautiful. Future Memories is a cute little ballad from John Davison. Nice acoustic guitar. A Living Island is one of the highlights. It's, I believe, a song co-written by Downes and Davison, maybe Sherwood as well. It's a little bit longer and it has a really grandiose ending that is definitely worthy of classic Yes. There's a few duds. I think Steve Howe's writing is not super strong on this record. I think his guitar themes tend towards the banal these days. There's a lot of sort of scalar exercise type guitar melodies going on. And the tracks on the bonus disc are throwaway, I think personally. I know some people like them, but anyway, if you compile just the best tracks, you've got a really good record, and most importantly, an inspired and well-produced record, which is exactly what Yes needed at the time. Before I go on to talk about the new single from the forthcoming album, I thought I would mention a few of the live albums that have come out recently from Yes. There's been a fair amount. I'll start, I think, after the Benoit David era, because those albums are not necessarily all available for streaming, so it's not so easy for people to check them out. But if we start, for instance, with Topographic Drama, which is from the tour where they played songs from Drama and Tales from Topographic Oceans, that's a surprisingly good record. It works well to have John Davison sing the Drama material, since, you know, that wasn't John Anderson anyway. And the band sounds pretty fired up, I think, especially playing the Drama material with Jeff Downes. It's almost the original Drama lineup, so that comes highly recommended. Then there's the Yes at 50 live anniversary record. It's okay. I have some issues with Steve Howe's guitar tone there. It's a little bit on the weak and clean side. I would like to see him put some more grit into his guitar sounds. But I think that's coming. We'll talk about that. And then the most recent live album from Yes is, I believe, the Royal Affair tour album. Now, the Royal Affair was, I guess, back in 2019. And it was a joint tour with Aisha and John Lodge of the Moody Blues and Carl Palmer, of course, of Emerson, Lake & Palmer. And that's a really, really good live album, I think. I believe Jay Shallon is doing quite a bit of the drumming there. It's energized. It's a cool selection of songs. Bit more grit from Steve Howe. John Davison does great. I think that's probably my favorite of their more recent live albums. That brings us to the most recent thing we've heard from Yes, which is the single Cut from the Stars, very recently released, and from their forthcoming album, Mirror to the Sky, which is coming already on the 19th of May, I understand, which is surprisingly soon. I really love Cut from the Stars. I think it's a great tune. It's got a nice driving bass line from Billy Sherwood. It's got really in-the-pocket drumming from Jay Shallon, who is now, of course, their regular drummer. Mix is great. Drums are up front. John Davison sounds more full and more fully present than he ever has with Yes. And maybe most importantly, I love Steve Howe's tone here. He's gone for a sort of facey, flanging 60s psychedelic sound, which is a nice contrast to the overly clean and a little bit weak sound he's been using lately. I love hearing that little bit of grit and substance from Steve Howe. It's really nice. Jeff Downes provides really cool proggy keyboards, a little bit of solo dueling between him and Steve. And the song is just really good. It's got a little bit of a complex structure, even though it's not overly long. It's definitely on the progressive rock side. I know that some people have been complaining about John Davison and Billy Sherwood's melodies, that they're not really immediate and not catchy in the same way that John Anderson's used to be. And I agree, but the more I listen to the song, the more I appreciate that kind of melody, actually. And going back to The Quest, I think one of the things that takes me back to The Quest is exactly the fact that the melodies aren't immediate. There's always something more to chew on there. You know, it leaves a little bit of mystery. It's not immediate. It's not predictable, for sure. So I think this song bodes really well. The mix, again, is wonderful. And also, again, they've brought in a little bit of orchestra. Not too much, just the right amount. So, all in all, Cut From The Stars makes me really look forward to the album Mirror To The Sky. And I think we should all give the band a chance. We see that they have inspiration and energy still left in them. And I think they've been reinvigorated by the new members. So give Yes a chance.